Hey friends, Ash here. Oh my gosh, you guys are in for a doozy today with this episode between George and Liz Benny. This was an episode that was aired over on her podcast, but we had to share it with you guys. So let's just get rolling and hop right into the conversation.
Are you ready to ethically scale your business? Good. Because this is the Mind of George podcast, where relationships beat algorithms and depth is the only direction when it comes to ethically scaling your business. Each Monday and Friday, I'll be the guy between your ears in the hoodie and pink shoes guiding you home, giving you the tools to extract, honor, and amplify your genius so you can be the light for your customers. Sound fabulous? Cool. Let's get into the episode.
Hey, Animus Cabal, Liz Benny back here with an incredible daily dose of here we go with the Happy Million Show. We're going to have some fun today on the show. We've got the incredible, amazing, sexy ass, George Bryant. And by the way, the reason why I say sexy, look at these legs. For those of you literally watching right now, these are the sexiest legs in the world. Come on, show them off.
We'll do the leg game. I'm relegated to being the entrepreneur who the number one question everybody asks is, how do you get your calves so big?
There's my legs. Oh my gosh. For those of you just listening right now, we just got the biggest, what is it? A leg show? You got a gun show?
A leg show.
Yeah, we got the leg show. So amazing, man. You're in Montana. You've lived in California. You're doing your thing. What is the most incredible, most exciting part of your life right now?
Being friends with you.
Oh, dude.
You want a dead honest answer. How else do I get to show up on a call with somebody who I love on the other side of the world who like just tickles me and then we end up in poop and tears and butt tickling before we begin, but yet it all applies to business, life lessons, and I'm sure it's going to come out on the show. And so like, if you have to, like, if I get to answer this genuinely and from my heart, like what lights me up the most is that anytime I thought that life mattered outside of any moments of these was fucking pointless.
There you go.
Because it's these. It's yes. It's literally being able to create connections with people and laugh and meet where we are and celebrate every ounce of it and make moves together and progress and celebrate this crazy ass game that we all decided to play, which is like 20 years of therapy every day, and just make it fun, throw some poop in and go make some impact. Like that's really the end of the day. Like yeah, that's what I do. I love it.
I love it. This is incredible. This is amazing. Okay. So I've got a very honest question. For those of you that know the incredible, amazing George Bryant, you will be very used to the pinkness of his being. The pinkness. Everything is pink, 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 pink.
Everything's pink.
And he helped me turn back pink because I went a little blue in my branding. And this man is absolutely incredible at getting entrepreneurs aligned and helping them cut out the fat of how they might be showing up and then just get in there. Like for me, it was getting into my pinkness. And by the way, it's not because I was trying to copy him. It was that I was pink before him and he actually copied me.
Yeah, well, I learned as a food blogger, there's no such thing as an original recipe. Can we all stop trying to credit all of us? Because a pound cake's been a pound cake for 5,000 years. I don't care that you added an extra teaspoon of sugar.
There we go. Now, my pink comment goes along the lines of like, you're not showing up pink right now, dude. There's a lot of green in your world. What is the green representative of right now? What's up with you?
You know what was so funny is I wear pink. It's normally pink shoes. I have some pink hoodies, but like my outfits are always the same, right? And it's like about like comfort and reminders. And also just because this will land. Somebody asked me on Instagram yesterday why I always wear the clothes that I wear. Environmental design's everything to me. People don't know what this crust on my shoulder means or that each piece of this clothing is made by one of my best friends who literally works his ass off meticulously. And it's about standing up for what you believe in. And so things are intentional there. And I love you, Rob, but he still hasn't made me a pink one of these hoodies. And I'm going to answer this authentically, Liz. I've been humbled a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
And humbled in the lens of thinking I knew.
Mm.
Now I know in the lens of like, I have tools, I have things, but to ever think that I know means I've already lost the game because the student says I already know and the master says, thanks for the reminder. And I've been very graciously humbled and in my heart. And I'll tell you exactly why I'm wearing this shirt I'm wearing today.
Mm.
We didn't have this podcast scheduled until last night. And mm-hmm. my calendar was full today, and it was full of connection calls with other people. And I normally wear shirts and outfits like stand out, and I'm recording and like they pop. And I literally looked at this and I was like, oh, this is going to be my joke all day when everybody asks why I'm this. I'm like, it's so you can't see me because I don't exist and this is about you. Mm. And that's why I put this on today. And then I asked my first podcast guest before we started, who shared an incredible story and opened up her heart on ways I can't even imagine. And like, just because I think context wise, and it will probably come up in this conversation, shared a story of how when she was 3 months pregnant, she lost her first brother to suicide. And when she was 8 months pregnant, she lost her second brother to addiction and then gave birth a month later. Wow. This woman, Alana, I love you. Thank you for coming on the show today. She's in our alliance. And I asked her, and I was like, what color feels good to you today? And she's like, I like green. And so it's been green since. On the pink thing, pink, because you're going to ask, why is everything pink? Well, it was an accident, and not an accident. I've always loved pink, but my son had pink shoes and he loved them, and he came home from school and I loved him, and Lindsay bought him a new pair, my ex-wife, and I was like, oh, they have adult pairs. Get me a pair. And I was like, fuck yeah. And then these things were called, what were they called? Well, I don't want to give them credit anyways. But let's just say it looks like Converse and Crocs had a baby and they were pink. And I was like, yes, we wear them every day. We got matching shoes. He comes home from school one day and says, Daddy, I can't wear pink anymore. It's a girl's color. And I said, who told you that? And he said, my teacher. And I said, get in the car. Shadow George decided to Google every fact about pink possible so he could gaslight the teachers. And I'm owning this because I gaslighted mm-hmm. the shit out of them. We since apologized and we're good, but it was a good moment. And I went in and I was like, boom, and he wouldn't wear pink. And I was like, nope. I replaced every pair of shoes with pink shoes. And I was mm-hmm. like, I'm going to wear pink again every day until my son realizes that colors don't matter and he can express himself however he wants. And like, it may not be pink, but it's never going to be about because a boy or a girl or whatever. And then I ended up giving a keynote in Austin to like 1,000 people. I have my normal outfit on, black pants, black hoodie, pink shoes. Give the talk on customer journey. Don't think anything of it. Just the normal George. Don't fuck over your customers. Here's how to love them. This is why you're not making money. Oh, you get it. Cool. But then 3 months later, I was in San Diego at Traffic and Conversion, just in the lobby to go to a meeting. And within the first hour, I had over 40 people come up to me. And they're like, you're that customer journey guy with pink shoes. And I was like, oh, I made another accidental social trigger. Like, this happened with Civilized Caveman. I teach this. This is in Contagious. And I was like, oh, my God. Well, I love the color, so screw it. I'm already in it, so we'll just do it. And then our color psychologist, who's like one of our dear friends in our community, Michelle, she's like, you know, the exact shade of pink that you love stands for revolution, and your movement is relationships beating algorithms. Like, I couldn't think of a better one. She's like, but like, how much do you love pink? I'm like, I want everything to be pink. Like, everything. Like, I love it. And she's like, oh, we can do that. And she's like, here's how. And then she was like, go. And then for me, the only thing she did, she's like, well, you already have the boots. You have the shoes. You need the glasses. And so she bought me, and I have interchangeable pop-on lenses with like different pink shades. But like, that was where the whole pink came from.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for how you're showing up, because people are getting to see the entirety of like a lot of different ways that you show up. Mm-hmm. And you're one person who is unapologetically showing up as all of you as much as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. What happened to make you this way? Have you always been this way? Have you all, or were there parts of you that you were just like so locked down in? So, and by the way, for context, those of you who are listening and watching right now, this man has built multiple seven-figure businesses. He's given seven-figure businesses away. He's a highly successful business consultant. He runs a thing called Alliance. He's an incredible entrepreneur. He understands customer journey. He's super tight with some of the people that you wish you knew. That sounded a little bit passive aggressive and a little bit condescending, but what I mean is he's connected with people who a lot of us look up to, is actually what I was meaning. But dude, what happened? Like, tell people your story. Please.
Perspective. It's the difference between your prison and your power.
Mm.
Short answer.
Give us the long one. I know you're good at that.
I got a couple context fortune cookies to drop to frame this answer. That's the first one. Second one, there's no finish lines. Third, if you ever make it about the result, you've already lost the game. Fourth, it took me literally four times over achieving every ounce of everything that I could ever have logically designed that made me logically make sense. This is what safety looks like. This is what success looks like. This is what freedom looks like. This is what finish lines look like. You ever noticed entrepreneurs that work really, really hard to sell their companies and then have an exit don't make it more than a year before they have something else in the pipes? Yeah. The whole concept and even belief that there's a finish line actually is the one thing that stops them from being made in the first place. Because finish lines are byproducts of inputs. Just like revenue is a byproduct of inputs. Like, you can tell me all day that you want to manifest $1 million, but you have to take something and add it to something to create that result. What I failed to recognize is that for my entire life, up until probably a year and a half ago, like until this really, really landed, is I would get clear on my inputs and the integrity of them. But then once the picture started getting closer and closer, I was like, oh, I made it. And just like a UFC champion who wins the belt for the first time, in this post-fight interview, you can tell based on his answers if he's going to keep the belt or not. I'll give you the easiest tilt. The guy who says, I shouldn't have won, I'm going back to the gym tomorrow, he keeps it. The guy who said, I made it, I'm going out to party, it's just a ticking time bomb. Because once you have it, it's 10 times harder to keep it because the inputs require more focus and they get really boring to continue to put in. And so first answer is everything that I swore I wanted, everybody in the world said I should want. And never once did I actually sit down and say, what would make me happy? And I'll tell you, you can look at my friend circle and look at my results. And every pattern and everything you celebrate me for, every exit, every win, every New York Times bestseller, every number one app, you look at my circle of friends and I match them identically to what they were doing. Not me. And so to answer that is it took, because of my old preferred flavor, not God teaching me once or twice or three times, or 7 or 10, to the point where I had no capacity left to fight anymore. Like, do you get it now?
Radical surrender.
And the surrender meant surrendering to the situation and choosing to see the evidence at a different level, which is just perspective. And so I feel called in my heart to share this, but I just feel like it's important. It's so easy when we're in a pill bottle to feel like there's no other way.
Yeah.
But typically it's just a state change away. But the reminder that I'm so eloquently given is that when we really think about it, if we look at our current situation, and even in this moment, if you're overwhelmed, you're consumed, like my whole life is over, and you feel like that for an hour, and then you feel good for an hour, and you feel like shit for an hour, in all three of those hours, not one piece of evidence has changed in your world. It's still all the same information. And then you go through emotions, you release some things, you're like, oh, I got an idea. And you look back at it. The information hasn't changed, just at what level you see it. Right? And I think that that was the biggest game, is that, you know, there's books galore, like The Little Book of Clarity by Jamie Smart, about how there are no finish lines and you can't keep moving the starting line. It's all toxic thinking. I'll start when? I'll start next week. I'll start now. But then to ever think that there's completion is really, really where we start to lose the game, because it just stagnates and it goes. And it all comes down to alignment, like genuine, genuine alignment. So what it took was everything that I swore I wanted creeping in and taking away every ounce of everything that I said that mattered, because I was sacrificing my life to build a business on paper that made everybody else happy because it looked a certain way. And so the truth is after what felt like 7 fucking years of torture, because I refused to surrender and trust myself and realize that I was the leader I was looking for, ayahuasca up, down, bankruptcy, company, exit, remodel, boom, boom, boom. And then it was 18 months ago where I finally got it. And I was like, what do I want? And this is the only thing I've ever really written down on paper. And somehow this magically worked. And all I wrote is, I want to be able to do backflips with my son when I'm 80. But you know me very well, and some people listening to this do. You also, if you've watched me publicly, I've tied world records for physical feats. I was a competitive CrossFitter. I did bodybuilding. I ran. And what a lot of people don't recognize, Liz, is that everything they celebrate me for was a byproduct of me running from an addiction,
There we go.
which is also why I don't talk about the story. And I used to all the time. But I wonder why I kept victim to living in a book that I swore I wrote the conclusion of. There's a reason the book was written and it was closed. And so, no matter what, it let out. And so, in that roller coaster, Liz knows there's a photo I posted online a couple of weeks ago to show a transformation of weight loss. And the before photo is like, people like, oh my God, I never even recognized, I didn't even know you looked like this. And boom. And I was like, do you want me to show you the social post that you commented on celebrating me in this photo and telling me how I was crushing because I was making 400 grand a month? But I was 257 pounds at 5'7" of like a walking contradiction of everything. And I was like, so I was at the gym the other day and one of my buddies was like, hey, show him your before photo. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, what do you see? He's like, I see you're fat, you're overweight, you're boom. Like, yeah. And I was like, you want to see what unhappiness looks like? I was like, this is what success on paper, everybody swears that they want, it looks like. But when you get it all and you have nothing underneath it and none of it feels like yours and none of it feels like it belongs because your heart wasn't in it, it actually causes so much more pain because you want to run away so hard. You want to break it all and you want to get rid of it. And so, like, this piece about alignment, like for the last 10 years, I've been helping companies put the heart back into their business. You want to know what it really was? Is I was aligning their message with what they truly believed and sharing that with people, not the other pieces. Like, the alignment's the only piece. Like, if you wake up every day and you dread opening your calendar, nothing you touch works. It's just poison. If you wake up and you're like, I can't do this, or I can't feel this, or I can't do this, and like, the world can tell you whatever you want, but like, no one's coming. It's you, right? And it's perspective. And like I said this earlier when I was talking to Alana, but she said it so well. She's like, the perspective is being in your body and not making it about the situation. There's just choosing one thing to be empowered or to make a shift. And so I don't think there's anything wrong with goals. I don't think there's anything wrong with revenue goals, but like, you also got to recognize that it's a byproduct. Revenue is a byproduct. It's a byproduct of a relationship with a person, a result that they get. And it really, really matters, like, because you've been in this and you've seen this. Think about the amount of entrepreneurs that we've been on calls with that are convinced they need to build a $5 million business. We make two changes. They buy back 6 hours a day and they realize they can work for the rest of their life and never work again. But they were ready to grind for the next 6 years because somebody said it's supposed to look a certain way or use my model or my funnel. Well, you want me to say it? Fuck you. I'll say it to everybody who says it to you. Somebody tries to give you their clarity. Say it's our path. Say it's your path. It's our way. It's my model. You better run as fast as you can because that doesn't exist. The plan does. Your clarity and your results, you control.
I want to take the energy of this
Sorry.
into no, sorry here, because basically what I'm hearing from what you've just said is, in the industry, there are a lot of very disingenuous, misaligned, disconnected people who might have made it financially, but they are basically preaching on shaky ground. I would prefer to not preach. I prefer to be on my own solid ground. I've got a question for you along those lines. So
Before
you
you
know
finish
what?
that question, real quick, can you remember that question? Because you just said something about the industry, and I want to close the thought.
Let's go.
There's two guilty parties. I'm not mad at the industry. I'm mad at every person who listens to this who fucking knew that already and paid him anyways and then blamed them for an answer they already knew. Because there's complicitness and there's complacency.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the same lens, some of those people that you and I both know dearly, I consider some of the greatest humans and marketers of our time. I just don't agree with how they do business. Doesn't mean they're horrible people, but also in that lens of business, those models work for some people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make them wrong. It's to both parties.
And oh, yeah, not, totally.
And it's not the ones that are problem aware or solution aware. I'm talking to my self-aware people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the part of the mirror that I didn't want to look into. And this is the most important one.
What part did I play in this? What part did I believe that I knew? What part did I fool myself for long enough to try to trick myself to believe that I knew was untrue? And I knew wasn't me, but I tried it on anyway, and I tried to force it, and it didn't freaking work, and then I got angrier and more disingenuous and more disconnected and more out of alignment. And then what happens is you actually get to the point where you break, and you break, if you're lucky, you break properly.
Yep. If you're lucky.
Yeah. If you break, you get to the point of not just getting to the point of, I'll allow something to change. You get to down to the point of radical surrender, of where you go, let me see what I'm not seeing. Forgive me for not seeing it. Like radical surrender.
Yes.
Personally, I find that one of the most peaceful feelings in the whole entire world.
I'm telling you, I will say this publicly, like to everybody. I've cried 37 times today. I've been on calls and videos with like 15 people. They started to talk. I'm like, we can't talk business. Something's missing. How is your heart?
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
And then we end up in customer journey. We end up in tears.
Yep.
Because I also get really fucking pissed that people, especially the ones proselytizing, pretend that every day is a good day. Every day is a fucking great day. But you also understand that commitment means you can be crying on the inside and filling somebody's bucket and existing in both at the same time, and both can be true.
Both and. Ugh, ugh, love it. Now, I want to say something to you and give you massive credit. And I still remember the other question, just in case anyone here is like, close the other loop.
Liz and I are really good about open loops with each other, actually, because we do this and we really do it to each other.
Yes. I love it. I love it. I love it. Ugh. You are one of the only people in my world who has been for my marriage. Now, what I mean by that, for those who are listening and you may or may not know, I'm in a same-sex relationship. That's not actually what I'm meaning. I'm not meaning like he's been an ally or anything along those lines. That's not what I'm saying. This isn't about the context of this is not about rainbow or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that there are a lot of people who have offered me advice to get out, to make my marriage the biggest problem in my business. You never did. You never did. And even when you were going through your own marriage dissolution, even mm-hmm. when you were going through your own, and there were a lot of people around you, you were like, I've got 8 of my friends right now. They're going through divorce. Mm-hmm. You offered me one piece of advice that pivotally shifted. It was at a time where Christy and I were going through a little wobble. It's like, because we've had to walk through an enormous amount of trauma, an enormous amount in like a lot of which I haven't even said publicly yet. And you've been with me and with us through this journey. And you were always pro us, and you gave me one piece of advice, and I will never freaking forget it. You said, you two are in this situation right now, not because you shouldn't be together, but because you love each other so fucking much. Go hug it out. Your coaching was go hug it out. I took a freaking picture of me hugging my beautiful, incredible, amazing wife, and I sent it through to you. So I want to remind everyone right now that just because you're going through something doesn't mean that your advice needs to be what your actual journey is yourself. So I want to say that this man that you are listening to and watching right now is a man who, in the face of his own adversity, can be there presently in front of other people. And you are one of you're a magician when it comes to that, my friend.
I think it's a choice. And if there's any magic, it's not me. I feel like I live in 100% alignment. Like every ounce of my day is by purpose and design. And there's no fluff around anymore. And I also realize, and you've taught me this through the years, like you're kapowing and your shit everywhere and your radical authenticity of like how we've met and danced together. And like, me and Christy, I love you, dear. In that though, but there's also this permission slip for everybody.
Yeah.
It's okay to change every day.
That.
It's okay.
Yeah.
To put on a different outfit tomorrow and just try it on for size. And it's okay to put that outfit on, realize you don't look good in it, and realize I'm never picking it up again. But here's what I'll tell you. If you keep them all in your closet and wrapped up and you can't see them and never try them on, you'll never know.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never know. But I also feel like everybody should hear this because I think leadership is something that people take for granted. And there's analogies for days, right? Like naming an Olympic gold medalist. Great, name me one who doesn't have a coach. Great, now name me one of their coaches who has a gold medal. If you see something and you feel something, there's a reason. And you only lose when you question it and get in the way of sharing it. Because you didn't install it there. You didn't have it. I think we lose in this world because a lot of people see the truth and they see the depth and they see the foundation. But they're afraid to take a stand for it because of what they might look like or might feel like. And so here I am. Yes, I live with my ex-wife and we are now closer than we've ever been.
Mm-hmm.
And was it hell? No, it was heaven because we both grew.
Mm-hmm.
And we chose our family and we chose each other and mm-hmm. we're closer. And I lost 80 pounds this year, like accidentally, like I can't even put it on because I'm in alignment. And I'll share this publicly. But I didn't lose the weight by magic. All I wrote in my journal was I realized that I was trauma bonded with Lindsay and I was never in love with her, but she saved my life and I had nothing but reverence for her. And that led me to asking myself what I wanted and what my goal was. And the only thing I wrote down on that piece of paper was I want to be able to do backflips with my son when I'm 80. I didn't change a workout. I didn't change a diet. I will tell you, writing that in my journal felt like I took 100 pounds off my body because it was sitting there for 4.5 years. Because I got a piece of coaching a long time ago that said, sit with it longer.
Yeah.
And I sat with it and sat with it and sat with it and sat with it. And then I realized I sat with it for about 3 years and 19 months too long. Because it was the same clarity that I was just afraid to unpack. But here's the craziest thing. It wasn't telling Lindsay. It was actually putting it into existence and into reality because that's when it became real.
Yes.
And so it's beautiful when you surrender, but yeah. What you're really surrendering to is your heart and your own alignment. And you're saying, I'm going to give myself a chance to win because you talk about shaky foundations.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the state of the world right now.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about constraint and business and everything. And every which way you thought it worked is gone. Every linear path that you used to get away with is gone. Every set it and forget it is gone. People used to be in 3 masterminds. Now they're in none. They used to have 2 gym memberships. Now they take 6 months to choose one. Oh, you mean we get to reinvent ourselves every day to connect with people because we're in a trust economy? Oh, and what's the only number one vibrational frequency that's recognized as the most harmonious and pleasant for people? Oh, it's authenticity. Oh, but it's really hard to be authentic when you're living in your own prison. And every word that you think about feeling or saying comes with doubt and shame, and it literally gets in the way.
Yeah. Dude, can I share something with you that I've been wanting to? Wow, yes, love everything that you just said.
Always.
There is a beauty. There is a beauty in the off-the-wallness that I have that even sometimes, like, I think, and I know that I'm too much for some people, and I'm actually good with that. Like, I literally am fine. Like, it's good. I do not want to appeal to everyone, period. That's it. Game over. Like, I just don't want to. But it's interesting that what I'm about to show you, it's something that I quite literally just showed on the last podcast interview that I just did. And it's very interesting that it's coming through right now to show you exactly what I have built here as well. Because I was on a podcast interview a couple of years ago now, I think it was a couple of years ago, with a man who was incredibly wealthy, financially wealthy, also had built an amazing business, had an amazing marriage. And like these are genuine things, genuine connection in his marriage, not just like cool connection. Yeah. But was working too many hours. Self-professed and didn't have enough fun in his life and enough play in his life, self-professed. And he said to me, all of a sudden, he said to me, Liz, like he actually said pre-interview, he said, Liz, I was actually going to cancel my last appointment for today, but then I saw it was you. And I'm like, oh, hell no, I need some of that lesbian energy. I'm like, I don't even, personally, I don't even know what that means because I'm just
I
me. I
do.
just rock.
I'll translate that shit for you all day, but we'll do that via text.
Perfect. Thank you. That'd be great. Help me understand what the fuck is going on, the whip, because it's actually one of the number one reasons why people apply to work with me. It's like, I love Liz Benny's energy. I'm like, what? What?
Can I break your brain?
Yeah, please do.
Okay. Thich Nhat Hanh. The moment you recognize you are, you no longer are.
Yeah.
Do you remember earlier we talked about inputs? This is a really thin line for you, but you need to hear this line. The moment your brain goes to how or why, you have to immediately say stop and post. Because that is your invitation to be louder and prouder.
It's really funny because you sitting in your office in Montana with all of your guns around, like was shooting like your little gopher holes and all this. I mean, was it gopher holes? No.
Oh yeah, no, because gophers are the bane. We have horses.
That's right. That's right.
And so literally, a lot of people don't know this, but when a gopher makes a hole, if a horse steps in and breaks its leg, it's either 18 months in an air cast for like 500 grand or they put the horse down. And these little fuckers, I love them, but like I don't want to kill any animals, so I try not to. So I like cover their holes and get rid of them, but like they make these holes. And so I like literally like have spent months trying to eradicate them, and then we got some barn cats and it like scared them away, and I'm like, okay, cool, I managed this fine. But yeah, I went to war. I went to war with some Montana natives.
Walking into your office and going, there are a lot of guns here. What in the world is going on? And then you were like, yeah, I just quite literally open that door and I shoot the gophers out the window. I'm like, oh my.
Well, and then like, but here's the other thing, like I live in Montana. One of them is also like we have grizzlies that come on our property, and we have wolves, and we have horses and ponies and kids, and like that's a real thing when you live in God's country, where you're reminded how insignificant and how quickly you can die every day. Like it was negative 38 a couple weeks ago, Fahrenheit. And my favorite moment, Liz, you'll appreciate this, when I have my muck boots on and I'm feeding the horses, you want to talk about presence. 50 acres in the snow, my rubber muck boots froze to my feet. I was dressed warm, but like it hurt breathing, and I was in heaven. And I literally just dropped and laid in the snow and stared at the stars. And I was like, oh. And you know that feeling where like every part of you is warm, except like it's so cold out and like just your face. And I'm like, this is, I'm gonna die if I lay out here all night, but like I could literally just like it felt like I had just finished an ayahuasca experience and I was like, nah, I'm home. Like I'm home. Uh-huh. And it's very presencing. But our job, Liz, is to be a lighthouse.
Yeah.
And never ask how far it goes, what color it is, and when the lens gets foggy, which means how is this working?
Mm-hmm.
That just means your light needs to get a little bit brighter.
Amen. And I remember you saying, and there's a lot of people like you and I out there in the world that aren't as loud as we need to be to actually be in our truthful alignment, because part of us not being loud is us not being in alignment.
Yes. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. And you said this earlier. I'm going to say this now because you said play and you activate people.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody. I'm going to break entrepreneurship down for you in 10 seconds in one analogy. And Liz will tell you, I genuinely break the fourth wall. She's not joking. I coach some of the most successful heart-centered aligned entrepreneurs. I am one. But results don't dictate the person. And so I'll break the fourth wall with you all day. It doesn't matter. And I can share client after client that have been in this office for the last 6 months that have all tripled and quadrupled their companies. Everybody comes to me convinced that as an entrepreneur, they win when they spend 75% of their time on the field as a player and 25% of their time off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You're fucked. Flip it.
Mm-hmm.
But let's use American football. Tom Brady only played football once a week on Sunday. Is that what made him good at football? Was what you saw? No. So for everyone that this tickles, I see you not putting in the work and expecting the work to happen in front of the world instead of showing the world that work you put in behind the scenes. Because here's the other part. If you owned that football team and you were in the Super Bowl and you had Tom Brady as a quarterback, would you ever let him show up to the game 1 minute before kickoff and get on the field in his pajamas and his pads and expect him to win? Oh, no, but you mean when you intentionally wake up every day, open your phone and let the world dictate who you get to be, and you don't build yourself as a player and put your pads on and set your mind right and get into your body, that you don't create the results you want? You're in the hardest fucking sport in the world, and you are the most important professional athlete that exists, but you'll recognize is what makes them professionals is what they do off the field, not what they do on the field. And so when Liz says this to you, fucking listen. Do not touch your business until you've earned the right to every day, or else you're just putting poison in your business. And so I don't care which way you say it, the way that I do it, and Liz will tell you, I have a model that I give you that I install for you to intentionally build your mind, your body, and your state of being for your future self. And you have to hit the floor before you can touch the needles movers in your business. And I'll say this to you too. Don't tell me your business is important and you know your three needle movers. And instead of doing those first every day, you go fight everybody else's fires and wonder why your vision isn't getting built. Oh, wait, nope. I know my needle movers, but I don't know how to do it. So let me go consume YouTube videos of Liz and George talking about it so I can build their vision, because someone's going to come magically put a brick in mine. No, you build and then you earn the right to learn. And you build and you earn the right to learn. You have to earn the right to get on the field every day. And that means whether you feel like it or not, commitment isn't feelings. Because we also forget that we get clarity on our best days and we make a plan for our best days. And we forget that the best days are the least days. And it's a game of consistency and alignment, not intensity or the results. Focus on the right fucking place.
Oh, I love that. I need to ask you a question, please. That was gold. And I have a question for the people who are like, oh, yeah, but I just want to live in flow. I don't want to have to be consistent all the time, but yet they want the result.
So anybody who's asking about being in flow mm-hmm. is talking about masculine and feminine energy. So let's define them very quickly. The definition of masculine is creating the structure and space to allow the feminine to feel safe to flow authentically. Every ounce of business is masculine. The structure is the container that allows you to be in flow. And I can send you 75 books, 800 thought leaders that all teach manifestation, flow, consciousness. Oh, and by the way, aren't they all inside of ritual time-based containers?
There we go.
Oh, magic.
I've had this conversation with so many people who want the flow. They want the ease. They want the simplicity. And they seem to be so resistant.
No, it's not that they're resistant. I'll fucking call you all right now. You want it now?
Yeah, there we go.
Without putting in the first step of the first mile, which actually creates it. Because right now, I teach the 3-4 mistakes people make with customer journey. Oh, here's what's funny. The same 4 mistakes are the same 4 that entrepreneurs make.
Mm-hmm.
But the zone of doubt is when you get an ounce of clarity. If you don't act on it immediately, it's a liability. Because you're convinced you need to know what the next bites are, but the next bites don't appear until the first bite goes in. And so we're sitting here talking about, I want to be in flow state. How do I restructure my whole business? Well, if you go on a diet plan and you decide you want to lose weight, we all know the worst advice is to go throw out all the food in your pantry and buy new. Why? Because it's not going to stick. Because it's too intense of a thing. So you mean you're so stuck and you're so overwhelmed that I want this thing different, but yet all the noise is stacking on to my nervous system in my sympathetic fight or flight, and the only thing my reticular activating system can see is more of the same trauma and blank. And I think in this state, magically, my behaviors are going to change, and something that I want is going to bring itself in without me sticking the thing in the machine and saying, give me back a piece of that. Because then we're like, oh, because that's the first mistake, the zone of doubt. And I was like, oh, but the drown the journey one that you do to your customers? Oh, you mean you just got clarity that if you went for a 10-minute walk outside, you'd feel better? But instead of doing it, you're going to open up your calendar and try to figure out where you can put an hour in every day for the next 30 days. Will you sit there and suffer more and then tell me you can't be in flow state? No. And this is the hard part. Until you truly understand that the only alignment that matters is that the words that come out of your mouth match the behaviors you do when no one's looking, you lose. Because it's as simple as right now. Anyone right now could go stop what they're doing, start a bubble bath, set a candle, put on their playlist, and set an intention, and do whatever the fuck they want. But let's be honest as to why we don't. I'll say it. We don't know who we are without the story.
So that is a gorgeous segue. And I love this. This is a gorgeous segue to go back to the conversation that I was having with this guy who didn't quite know how to play. Incredible man.
Yep.
And for some freaking reason, like, you know me, like, I think poo jokes and fart jokes are the funniest freaking things in the world. Yeah,
Pattern interrupts. They're state changes. Like, let's call them what they are. But like, for everybody who thinks that like you're boom, boom, boom. No, like, let's talk about the actual power of them.
Mm-hmm.
See, here's what's so funny. You're in your shit. And Liz talks about removing the constipation out of your ass.
Mm-hmm.
You think she's being silly. What you don't recognize is she completely state changed you and your perspective as a pattern interrupt.
Perfect.
That is the magic of all of it. We do it. We literally teach keynotes and we're like, hey, get their attention. What do you do? Pattern interrupt. Oh, ads. Get their attention. Hook. Pattern interrupt. Oh, you mean that our greatest thing is to shift somebody's energy and be like, hey, I just want you right here, right now. You're not here with me. Boom.
I literally put a fart noise in an ad that I'm running right now.
Yeah.
Paying Facebook money to get this noise in front of people as much as humanly possible. Seriously, we could go
The only thing that I can make it better is I remember Sean Croxton from Underground Wellness, like back 2010, like OG days of us podcasting, health blogger. But then Squatty Potty came out and he was one of the first affiliates. So I'll never forget the video because he was the one who literally dropped trout, sat on the toilet, knowing that like it's perfect that you can't see anything. and had his girl walk in and be like, oh, what do you mean? You can't shit right? Are you a little blocked? Like, duh. And it like threw the roof. And I was like, because he was the first one to literally be like, well, I'll show you how to use it.
This is amazing. It's incredible. I think that in this day and age, people are trying to be so freaking perfect. And along these lines, or a short these lines, and for those watching, you will get exactly what I mean in a second. So when I was on this podcast with this guy, he all of a sudden said to me, Liz, you know how to play. Like, you can, yeah, just like, let's just play. Like, I feel like I can do this with you. AKA, I feel like I'm safe to be this with you. Can we please play, was the invite. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit, yeah, dude. So we went from like, you know, serious and in-depth and deep sort of conversation to all of a sudden, boom, play. And it was like this giddiness, this childlikeness, and it was amazing. It was incredible. And like, I went, and then I was like, okay, cool, your turn. And he was like, eh? Like a little bit awkward, but he came at it. He was like, he put his glasses upside down, and it was kind of fun. And then he was like, ee! So he was doing his best. He was dropping down as best he could. And then I don't know why, but I had some Play-Doh right like beside me. And I don't know why my brain went, oh, Play-Doh, that'd be fun. Let's play with the Play-Doh. Let's make something with the Play-Doh. And I don't know why in my head, I all of a sudden became like this childlike boy-like energy. And I was like, that'd be funny. What do little boys do with Play-Doh?
They play.
They make dick and balls.
I was going to say, I was like, hold on. No, because I got to age you right now, because Branson, who's 7, would make poop. I would make the dick and balls.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, the little boy is there right now, right?
Yeah, so, for sure. I used to draw him in my notebook. I think I'm past that now, but like, I can totally see myself doing that.
But seriously, of all of the things that I could have done, and for those of you going, wait a minute, did Liz just say that she dropped in and she became like a boy-like and whatever, like... Who cares? Who cares? I love being a chick. And for those of you that are all judgy right now.
Can I say something?
Please do.
Okay. I just want to celebrate you trusting your heart and not getting in the way.
Thank you.
I think the only time we can lose, Liz, is when we start to ask why or what.
Yep.
Amen. But really, really, I just did a podcast on this called Triggers and Glimmers.
Yep.
The triggers are the ones that come in the ugliest envelopes that have the biggest breakthroughs on the other side.
I mean,
the glimmers are the ones that get installed in us and we pretend that we shouldn't say them or do it, or we question why.
So that one moment, that dick moment, me doing that, I had no regrets whatsoever.
None.
And then my coach at the time, I actually remember saying to my coach at the time, oh my gosh, I just made dick and balls out of Play-Doh on this podcast. It was amazing. And her face dropped. Mm-hmm. Why? Because image was very important to this person. Mm-hmm. AKA perception and what might happen to my brand and my reputation. Because at that point in time, there was this eliteness that was being created that I was party to. I was like, oh yeah, because I want to create this and I want to do this and it's gonna be amazing.
Remember before we were friends, I was a witnessing party and I loved you before we even knew each other.
Yeah.
I was like, how the fuck did you end up here?
Yeah. Ego.
and then you looked me dead in the eye, you're like, I don't know, motherfucker, how'd you end up here? And I'm like, touche.
It's funny. But I vividly remember when I got one of my all-time favorite applications in for my coaching. And it was a person, and I won't say their name, her name. It was her first name. Then she put in a middle name, which was Fuck Yeah, and then she put her surname. So if you imagine it like Liz, Fuck Yeah, Benny. And I'm like, whoever this is, I want this person as a client. She is unleashed. And then when I heard that she had quite literally listened to that podcast. So there's a question coming for you here in a quick second. This isn't all about like self-glorification of this.
I might tell you to fuck off and make it all about self-glorification and dick and ball and Play-Doh.
That's fine. We can do that too. So.
No, I love your question, but I'm like, this is completely okay. And I love this. Like, yes.
This is amazing because here's what I'm trying to tell people and preach is that my dick and ball moment online was one of the most freeing moments that I've ever been online. There are pivotal moments where I go, I was 100% myself there. I was 100% myself there. And there are these moments, and the dick and ball moment for me was me radically just being. And what happened is it attracted to me a person who wasn't radically being, but deeply sought radical being. The radical love of myself that I was able to actually do that. Now, am I saying I'm perfect? Heck freaking no. We are all a work in progress. And as I shrivel this thing up, as I turn this back into the ball that it gets to be, my question, my dear friend, to you is, what is your best dick and ball moment where you were just radically 100% yourself publicly out there? And what was the radical positive byproduct of that that came into your life as a result? Who did you get to work with?
I literally have 100 of these, so I'm gonna go straight for the biggest one. You know this already, this has been my life. Before I do, my heart feels called to clean something up. And so first off, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about is a muscle. It's an action, right?
Mm-hmm.
A muscle that is atrophied when it's not used.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I know, and I remember what it was like to be on the other side of receiving conversations like, oh, I get it, but I don't get it.
Mm.
I'm telling you, give yourself grace, but recognize the only way to actually learn how to do a curl is to pick it up and curl it. And it doesn't matter how many videos you watch. It doesn't matter how many breakdowns you watch and how many mechanics you watch. Until you put that weight in your hand and just flex it once in a curl, you don't know what it feels like and what to do next, no matter how many videos you watch. And so I say this because there's so many thoughts that I had to what Liz shared, but I'll just feel called to share one philosophical on Schrodinger's cat. If you don't know Schrodinger's cat theory, if I take 3 cats and I put them on a table in front of us in a box and I put poison in the box and I close the lid, in this moment, are the cats alive or dead?
I don't know this theory, but my first thought was they're dead immediately.
How do you know?
Because I'm imagining myself in there with that being inflicted upon me and what may or may not happen as a result of what's being inflicted upon me. I'm becoming the cat in the box.
This is the challenge. Both are true until you open the box.
Yes, 100%.
So in the lens of life, business, entrepreneurship perspective, we lose when we get triggered because we limit ourselves and we're like, only one thing is true.
Mm-hmm.
Except multiple things can be true at the same time, but you have to open the box to see.
Amen.
The opening the box is like, well, I feel like I can play, and I feel like I can play, and I could do it this way, and I could do it this way, and I don't know. And until you take out the Play-Doh when nobody's looking and make a dick and balls, you will never know. And you will always be stuck in purgatory, which I consider prison. So when I think about these things, how I anchor them in as my memory is triggers and glimmers are just check engine lights. And I only lose if I pretend to know the code underneath it. Because if my check engine light comes down when I'm driving down the road home tonight and I don't look at it and it says my engine oil is low, pull over, your engine seizes, and I keep driving, what happens? My whole car blows up. But I could be driving home the same way and the same light come on and it be my windshield wiper fluid is low. And if I ignore that one, I'll make it all the way home and never know. But I will still never know. And everything's a guess. But if in every moment that check engine light pops up, I pause and I open it, then I know and I can make an informed decision on what is next. Our obsession should be about being a triage nurse at 30,000 feet as often and as much as possible to be present, to choose where to give our energy and intention based on what information is in front of us.
Mm.
But you have to open the box. So I'll tell you the hardest one for me. I was in Austin, Texas in June of 2014 at PaleoFX, which was the biggest conference in my world, and I happened to be near the top of that. I didn't belong in 1,000 people. My book just came out. Became a New York Times bestseller when nobody told me I could do it. And I even created that out of integrity by lying my way through a personal development course when I put it in my contract, because we had to write a contract, a 12-month commitment. And we only graduated if we completed everything in it. There were 5 areas: life, business, relationships, health, and charity. You want to know the only box I didn't do, Liz? The charity. I paid somebody to go do it for me.
Wow.
And so in that contract, I'm going to share another life lesson. I had to write a goal. I never wanted to write a book. I never wanted to be a food blogger. I never wanted to do any of that. I just trusted what showed up. And they made me write a goal. I'll never forget when I wrote this contract. I wrote, I want to be a number one New York Times bestseller, and then I deleted it. And I literally told myself it wasn't good enough. Liz, do you want to know what number I wrote in there? Number 4. I wrote, I want to be number 4 on the New York Times advice how-to list. June 10th, my book came out. My photographic memory doesn't serve me well all the time. It's a Tuesday. June 17th, I get a phone call. My publisher says, I don't know how the fuck you did it. Screenshot it. Take a picture of this. You somehow made it to number 14 on the New York Times. And you made it on the advice how-to list with a paleo cookbook with no audience. And I was like, okay, thank you. The next week he called and he's like, I don't know how you did it. You're at 12, 10, 8, 7, 5, 4, 4, 4. 4, 4, 4. And on week 4, when the monthly list dropped, I hit number 11. And the next month I hit 7. What do you think I hit the next month? 4. And it stayed at 4 for 22 weeks, and then it dropped off the list. I found that contract 3 years later, and I cried for 3 days. And so I'm on book tour. And I had to choose between book tour and my marriage, because there was a personal development course starting where that contract was involved, or my signed contract book tour with a co-author that I had to make a phone call and break to have a chance of saving my marriage. And I made every phone call, including to the co-author, who turned out to hating me, my publisher, who was like, I'm going to sue you, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and multiple things can be true. So I made those decisions and I ended up in that personal development course, and I did it all, and it led me to that stage in Austin, Texas. And I was about to go out and give an entire talk to my peers on how you can use food to create breakthrough results in your life. And Lindsay looked me dead in the fucking eye in the hotel room. And she asked me one question. And she said, are you really going to go up there and lie to them again? I was wearing a striped blue and white polo shirt with ripped jeans and a white pair of shoes. And from the walk to the hotel room to the conference center was maybe 2 minutes. And that shirt went from white and blue to purple and drenched. And I walked on stage and they put a mic on me. You remember me ever talking about my 60 seconds of truth and how I do it at the beginning of keynotes? This is the day it started. And I looked out in the audience and there were a lot of people, people on their phones, people standing, and I literally had nothing to say. And what Lindsay was talking about is I was on a New York Times bestselling book tour and I was still actively bulimic as a paleo food blogger teaching health. So when she said, are you going to lie to them anymore? I knew what she meant. And so I walked up and I froze and I didn't know what to do. And all I said is, I get to be honest with everybody. And I looked at them and I was like, here we go. And I was like, I've lied to all of you. Truth be told, I was purging in the bathroom this morning. And the sweat came from my career's over. Everyone's going to leave. I'm standing in front of every one of my peers. Like, everyone. My clients, my business partners, my publishers. Like, people that threaten to sue me. And I noticed the craziest thing is that when I started talking, everybody that was on their phones looked up. Everybody was standing up, sat down. And I just poured my heart out. And I was like, and this, and this, and this. And then I was complete. Like, I don't remember anything. And someone was like, well, give your talk. What? So I just gave my talk. And my life changed forever. Like, to a point where there is not an answer that I could ever give or justify. To also recognize the power, and I have no excuses for my own bullshit and living out of alignment. Of like, how much more evidence do you need that the only thing that matters is your heart? And if you follow it and you stand in it and you really do it for the right reasons, the only thing is possibility. Including at the beginning of this year. I was accused of things I'd never do. And said things and heard things from the world and like told by my friends, you can't do this. This won't work. And the only difference is I didn't say it will. My heart said I know. And I painted this picture on that notebook. Like what I wanted happiness to look like. If you've paid attention in the last 12 months, you have literally watched me document me ripped open to pieces while choosing my heart every day, no matter what evidence, no matter what story, no matter what resistance. But I need people to get the fact that when you see it and you get it, it's your fucking responsibility to bring it into fruition because nobody else can see it yet. And that means that you have to believe it so much that it installs the belief in the other person until they have enough of their own. And if you think you can do that by putting shit in your gas tank and having shitty thoughts, and beating yourself up off the field and then getting on with the person you say you care about and saying, I'm only giving you half of me because I'm not telling you what I did before this call and you're okay with that. The only reason it feels like prison is because the key is in your hand. And you keep waiting for somebody else to come unlock it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't give tangible evidence. Because if you take a stand to create evidence, you're not taking a stand and you have an agenda. When you stand in your truth, the only thing that matters is your truth. Because the moment a result, either positive or negative, comes in and you believe either one, you turned off the light and it doesn't come back. And I learned that in the middle of this year. I was like, oh, we did it. We made it. No, we did it. So when I say every morning I wake up, I imagine I lost my life, my wife, my kids, my friends, and my business, and I get to earn them all back every day. It's because yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not promised, and who I was yesterday is not who I'm choosing to be today. So who do I choose to be today? And then you don't use words. You use behaviors to create the evidence. And I can send you clip after clip after clip, but I'll summarize this down very, very quickly. There's a part of your brain called the mid-angular cingulate cortex. And there's two parts of your brain, and it has been studied extensively. And what's so crazy is every scientist that is studying it has concluded that it is the exact muscle and part of your brain that's associated with willpower and the willpower to live. But here's the funny part. It only flexes if you choose to do the things you genuinely don't want to do. And if you don't, it atrophies and gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And we think that all these nuggets and the triggers are the things we avoid and we go to the glimmers, but there is scientific evidence now that proves that the moment you walk into that trigger, it actually increases the strength of the cortex of your brain. It increases your willpower and momentum to go. But you got to take the choice and you got to make the stand. And it can't be about results. It can't be about the game. It has to be about the inputs. Over and over and over. But it's the consistency from our heart over and over and over that allows us to get there. But ultimately, you have to choose. And so if you see something in your heart and you believe it to be true, you have to ask yourself a different question than how do I create this? The question is, who do I get to become to create this? And that's the only place that you're ever going to find an answer that gives you any chance of hope and fulfillment and purpose and passion.
And freedom.
Freedom.
Because if you truly, I'm listening to that question and I'm asking myself that question, and with the answer that I receive from that question, there is radical freedom.
Freedom.
Because when I hear the answer to that question, who do I need to become? And in that question, there is this, and for some people, it's like this completely different person that they get to step into. For some people, it's a friend that loves them deeply and has been waiting for them to say, hello, you showed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I hear that, what I go is, and my, the situation of me walking through my breast cancer scare last year, even though I knew, at least I felt I was going to be fine. The logic and the ego likes to play the game of, yeah, but what if? And like, and my ducks are lying, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So we had a dance party last year. By we, I mean me, myself, and I. We had a really good dance party. Mm-hmm. But there was freedom in that, because with the gift of the breast cancer scare, I had that glimpse of that freedom as well. And nobody, my point to everyone here with the lesson that you so graciously, gorgeously gave us is you don't need a breast cancer scare to have that same sense of freedom. Because when you go through something like a potential terminal illness, you then ask yourself, or you step into a beingness which is much less restricted by what others might think. And then you ask yourself those bigger questions. Who do I want to be in this last period of time? And it's so funny, because at the end of the day, life is so fickle. Life is so short. And what you're saying is we get to act as if life is short by asking ourselves the most potent questions humanly possible, physically possible, spiritually possible, which is what you're actually displaying to us right now. Who do I get to become? And then, in that moment of freedom, and go there.
Well, also celebrating the version of you that got you to this point.
Absolutely.
Without her or him, we wouldn't be here.
Amen. I absolutely believe that. And I think that both you and I, what I hear and what you were saying there is, we must not shame the version of us that got us to where we are, because they were operating with the tools, the experiences, the belief systems, the triggers, the everything, and they did their freaking best.
Yes. Yes.
And now they get to step into
this
different.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done. But the
no, you go. You go. Please go.
That ooh is a first bite.
Yes.
Not a home run.
Mm-hmm.
It's a swing. And so you said something earlier, the ego, the devil, the details. The easiest way to remember that, and this is why the devil is in the details matter. Where do the details ruminate? Where does the alignment come from? So why are you even dancing in the wrong bucket or entertaining the conversation? Because here's the truth. The conversation prevents the input that would have made it real. And so it's like thinking about like, oh my God, I'm going to run this ultra marathon. And at mile marker 10, there's this massive barrier that I've never made it over before. I guess I shouldn't start the race. Or I signed up for the race. I'll deal with mile marker 10 when I get there, but there's 9 mile markers ahead of that one. And I have to earn the right to jump over that wall. I've realized I'll give you 30 of these from today. I'll give you one this morning. I was on a flight home from Bali, Liz, after you saw me facilitate my first ever women's retreat that unlocked my heart. And now I put the heart back into your business. And it's like, oh, and on the flight home, I get sat next to Phil, who's an 88-year-old pastor who travels around the world and just serves people. And I'm standing in line and I notice he's struggling with his bags and no one's helping him in Indonesia, nowhere. I was in the Philippines. It was like 2 a.m. And I was like, sir, can I please help you with your bags? He's like, oh, I'd be honored. We end up sitting next to each other. We start talking the whole flight. We had a long flight. God, life, boom, boom, boom. Apparently, I shared with him a story of a shaman saying to me, I'd never been quiet enough to hear God's whispers. I took his card, Liz, and I don't care. We're over. We have nothing but time. It's a construct anyways. And I'm going to radically expose myself. I took that card and I put it in my backpack and I kept it. And I kept it in my backpack for 3 months. You want to know what I said to myself? If I don't reach out to this guy, he's never going to get a hold of me. He doesn't have a computer. He doesn't know tech. You know, it's fine. I'll get to it when I get to it. About a month ago, me and Branson were playing, spilled water all over my backpack. That card got ruined and all of his contact info gone. A day later, he submits the contact form on our website. And yesterday ends up on my calendar for what was supposed to be 15 minutes. 2.5 hours later, get off the call. He's like, I'd recommend starting here. Maybe read this, tune into this. I put off a Facebook message 2 days ago. I opened it this morning. That Facebook message had the exact verbiage and scripture that he referenced just dropped to me randomly out of nowhere. I prayed in my shower this morning because one of our Alliance members, mother-in-law, fell terminally ill unexpectedly. He asked for people to pray for him. So Liz, I got in the shower. I lit a candle. I played a song and I started to pray. And I asked God how to use what he was giving me. And the first thing that popped up was like, just send him a video. And I was like, that can't be. Like, I do that all the time. Like, and I felt like I was doing it wrong. I'm back in the shower. I'm bawling my eyes out. I was like, God, just show me what to do with this. And he's like, all right, fucking listen. Send him a video. Send your racquetball friend a video. And write this down right now. I shit you not. And this is all going to make sense to you. I jump out of the shower. I'm like, write it down, write it down, write it down, write it down. I get in the car. I record the video to Robert from my heart. And then my buddy I play racquetball with asked me about a tripod last night. And I'm like, of all the things in my phone today, like, I'll get, when you get home, I got you, Scott. Like, boom. God this morning is like, now. I open the text. I go to literally find the tripod on Amazon. And I'm like, why would I find it? Julia, who ran the retreat with me in Bali, is the one who told me about the tripod. I'll just text Julia. I went to text Julia and I had resistance to texting Julia because I felt disconnected and transactional right now. So I opened a video. I'm like, hey girl, I got to come clean. I need a tripod thing, but I've been afraid to reach out. I miss you. I fucking love you. I'm so proud of you. I haven't thanked you for Bali enough. And it's funny enough, I ended up on a call with Phil yesterday, who I told you about on the flight, and boom, boom, boom. Liz, she responds within 3 seconds as I'm walking into the dentist today to start getting all the broken teeth in my mouth fixed that were blown up, and I finally get approval to get those fixed. So that's a big abundance win today. And she texts me back instantly and said, the only thing I saw in all caps was divine. And she said, how did you know that I was just sitting in the shower crying to God and talked to him for the first time in 4 months? And I step out of the shower and there is a video from you waiting for me. And then she reflected back something to me that I took and sent to the woman who messaged me this morning and to another party, and all parties had these like magical, that was this morning. And I think about all the times where we sit here and we're like, I think about my friend. Why do you think you're thinking about them? We only lose when we ignore the phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And we win every time we pick it up, even if it means we don't know how to execute what's in it, but we try. And I can give you 100 of these in business, because yeah, that woman I messaged this morning doubled her company in the last year. And I didn't realize that message I sent and what I spoke into her was literally the thing. And she's like, I'm clear now. Okay. I don't know. It's not my job to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job to know. But I will say, and if you've not read it, have you read Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert?
It's right behind me. I love it.
I love the distinction of relationships to ideas, because that is genuinely what happens. And we ask for something, the phone rings, and we're like, oh, not now. That phone call doesn't come back to you. It goes to somebody else. And I cried about this because, you want to see something funny? Go listen to my podcast for a year and notice there's one author who publishes a book on similar topics almost congruently. And then I grab the book and it fits every model I have. And everyone's like, write a book, write a book. I'm like, it's not mine to write. And this author doesn't copy me at all, because it's literally, I'm like, oh my God, like that's what it blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and I'm like, yeah, like it's this thing of idea. But like, when we think about perspective, when we think about presence, when we think about alignment, it's not something we do. It's who we choose to be in a moment. Mm. And when we choose to be in alignment, when we can turn this off, or process this, or feel this, and go from anywhere in our bodies back to here, the only thing that unlocks is a view at all the other levels that were directly in front of us already, and we still have to decide which one to pick up and call. I hope that answers your question.
I'm sure it does in some way, shape, or form. I don't even know what the question was, and I love that, and I love what you said, and because I was radically in a state of being.
I look like a hot fucking mess. I've cried so much today. I'm glad I'm wearing camo. Like, I'm glad I blend into green, because I'm sitting here looking, I'm like, the only thing you see is my Ninja Turtle looking face right now, and I'm like, okay, we out here today, girl. We out.
Oh, I love it, dude. When I'm hearing you, I filter things through things that some of which you've actually helped me understand the whole simple, easy, loving, and fun. You were like, oh, you're protecting yourself. Do you remember that? Like,
I do.
So Christy and I were in Montana Coffee Company. I have to look my Montana Coffee Traders. Yeah, it's a sticker on the back of my computer right now. So for those listening and watching, I was literally in this man's beautiful home area. It's incredible. And I remember saying to, and Christy and I were going through a period of time in our business where it didn't feel like we wanted it to feel. And she flew across from New Zealand. I'd been in America for what, 3-4 weeks at that point of time, or maybe a couple of months. I don't even know. She came across, we were sitting at the coffee shop, and I said, what do you want? Like, what do you want business to feel like? And she said, I want it to feel simple and feel easy. And she wasn't saying I'm not willing to put in the work. She was saying she wanted it to feel like ease. And then I said, me too. And I want it to, you know, I want it to feel love filled. And I want it to feel fun, because for me, fun is just so incredible. Like, it's one of my primary emotions that I seek on the regular. Like, I will turn anything into fun if I can, like as much as humanly possible. And you were the man that you were like, oh, simple, oh, easy, oh, love, oh, fun. And you were like, duh, Liz. You didn't say it quite like that. You were like,
I probably said it more aggressively to you, because we have one of those aggressive relationships.
You were like, you dipshit.
we get pretty aggro with each other out of love.
Yeah, totally. So long story short is you were like, this is the self model. And I remember you saying, like, Liz, you could quite literally just get up and freaking sell this. You of all people, Liz. I wasn't prepared to hear that information at that point in time, but you said you of all people. Yeah. Shush. You of all people, Liz, could say what you're like, say what the offer is and just say it publicly. You of all people, Liz. Yep. And I was like, how dare you say that? Like, I've still got, like, you know, because I couldn't quite see that, but I believe it now, by the way. I've done a lot of work to get to the point where I'm like, of course. So self is a framework that I actually turned that into a good amount of income and helped someone with the self methodology to help him be in alignment with himself. And he has hit all-time highs in his business. He's super close to his significant other, to his wife. And it's just amazing. It's incredible. Why am I saying all of this? Because as you were talking before, I don't know if people actually know that Kapow in and of itself is a framework which stands for connection first. And it used to be authenticity, but I believe that has been, it's just been so, it's become a cliche that sometimes makes people not hear. So I actually turned it into connection, alignment, purpose, ownership, which is the part that most people don't do, right? They don't take radical ownership for that which they need to do and who they need to become to get what it is that they want, which is wealth. And a lot of people go, oh, look at me, I want to make a crap ton of money. And when I make a crap ton of money, all my problems are going to go away. But wealth, as it is defined in Kapow, and I'm pointing at my phone because I've got the pop socket on my phone, is wealth is whatever it means to you.
Yes.
Connection with God. Connection with your significant other. And it's actually quite funny because it all comes back around. So when I'm listening to what you're saying, it all ultimately comes back to connection, connection to self, connection to God, spirit, universe, connection to what we're doing, connection with our customers. And Christy and I were talking about this yesterday, and we're like, it doesn't matter. Like, I literally do not know what is in my bank account. I haven't checked my bank account for 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. I don't even know what it is. And I don't say that from an ego swinging, dick swinging kind of standpoint, A, because I can't do that, and B, because it would just be silly. But I say that because that part of my life does not matter as much as what we are doing right now, which is connection, which is what you teach. Which is what you teach, not just in your words, but in your very beingness, is what I'm trying to say.
It's like relationships.
So when I hear you speak, huh?
I was being a smartass. I'm like, it's like relationships beat algorithms.
That no, I was getting to that, dude. I'm about to hold.
Yeah, but
phone.
We do this to each other. You were at my fucking event. What are you talking about? You did this to me the entire time I'm at the event. You're like, I'm not interrupting. I'm like, Liz, you're in your chair when I have something land, and you're like, I don't want you to pay attention to me, George. And I'm like, do you just want to come up and run it with me? I'll do this with you all day.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's true. That's true. That's true. I actually had
a lot
of fun.
We dance so well together.
We do. We
absolutely
do.
Because it's never about what the dance looks like. It's just honoring the current dance.
Oh, dude. It's so much more fun that way.
It is. And yes, I hear you. And I'm sorry I intruded on your thought. I just was being a snarky smartass.
We were dancing. It's okay. So it does come back to, so connection. So Kapow starts with connection, ends with connection. It gets people to wealth, which is back to connection, to wealth, which is back to connection. It's this beautiful circle. I always saw it as a linear thing until I realized it was a circle.
Yep.
And with what you are teaching, A, by your beingness, and B, with the frameworks that you assist people with, is ultimately it all starts with connection. How do people feel? What do they want to feel? How do they express themselves in your product?
Yep.
And for many years, like I've had the same conversation with people going like, Apple does such an incredible job, or did many years ago, probably more than they do now.
True.
I am their product. I am an Apple user.
Yep, me too.
Therefore, I eat, breathe, sleep that. When somebody sends me a text message and it's green, I'm like, bleh, I don't know you. And when someone sends me a blue one, I'm like, oh, I love you. And it's so interesting, that one thing, because I know you. I know who you are. I know your buyings. I know how you operate as a human if you're an Apple user more than I do Android. Android are different. They're different. And by the way, those who are listening and watching who are Android users, please know this isn't me being passive aggressive. It's just like we think differently here. Mm-hmm. Our buying decisions are different. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, my point here is it comes back to connection. And I think that there are so many entrepreneurs who are lost and lonely out there in the world who are seeking connection with an income or a revenue or a profit or a bank account number that they are seeking or wanting to have validation through that number and connection with the validation through the number. But what they're actually seeking mostly is, am I enough? Am I seen? Am I part of something that is greater than who I see myself as being right now? And that's what you help people do. That's what, like, this is the game.
It is the game. And there's only one way to play it to win. And it's recognizing, and I'll summarize an entire business lesson for you in 1 minute. Every decision you want somebody to make is an emotional-based decision. Mm-hmm. Following you on Instagram, commenting, liking, buying. And when was the last time you ever collected enough evidence to hire a personal trainer based on what workout sets and reps they put on paper? Never. You hire them based on beliefs, feelings, and connection. But if a human being is required to feel safe to make an emotional-based decision, wouldn't they need to be in a relationship first to even have a container to feel safe before they get put into anything?
There it is.
And so we forget that when we throw the humanity out the window in the lens of business, we actually cut off the things that make it work and possible by just focusing on the business and not the person. But you also forget that businesses are scaled on retention and not acquisition. And they only scale when somebody gets results and can make referrals. But in order to get results, they have to feel safe enough in a relationship to raise their hand. But you're like, oh, no, they all do. I'm like, yeah. I know what your business looks like. Your customer service is through the roof. There's always pain points and problems, and you guys are triage nurses. Over and over and over again, because we didn't build relationships on the front, so nobody could identify that they think and felt the way that you did, because you weren't authentically expressing, so you could only make it about the bridge. And now the thing that you love, that you thought was going to get you there, is the bridge that you resent, and it's still all just based on alignment. And so if you don't recognize that you're conditioning a relationship with you from the first moment that somebody sees you to the last moment they're done, you've already lost, but you've created every result that you see in front of you.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, if you even want to have a chance to win and you think about logically how you've done it, just like I joke about upsells, you'd get punched, you'd punch somebody in the face if you got upsold at a grocery store. What do you think when somebody just bought your transformational program about unlocking their heart and the first thing they get is 8 emails with 10 things to do and they're told they're bad and wrong and they don't do it fast enough that you really have an offer problem? Really? Maybe it's time to realize that when somebody buys your product, the marriage began, not ended. That's the day it started. And no matter what you automate and what you build, good luck trying to automate your relationship and letting those emails handle the intimacy. And then wonder if that makes your partner feel safe. Wonder if that empowers them to install what you're teaching them. Interesting. No. You got to give yourself a chance to win to focus on the right things. And so when we think about this, our job is to be a catalyst for people, not to be the solution. Right, I can make you book recommendations all day, but at the end of the day, without relationships, you lose. And the most important person required to be in a relationship is all of you. Oh, and you don't believe me about alignment? Tell me right now, every person listening to this, Liz and I included, haven't been in a room on the other side of a room and had somebody walk in the door and instantly felt off, and I don't trust them, and the energy in the room shifts before they even spoke a word. And in the same room, somebody else walk in and feel radiant and safe without them ever speaking a word. And you forget that only 7% of communication is verbal. And the moment you're in your brain trying to think on how you operate, all your subconscious tells come out and nobody feels safe. Why do you think the best poker players in the world have hypnotherapists as coaches? It's so that they can control what's shown on the outside, no matter what's happening on the inside. But that is a weapon for them, for us. If you're out of alignment, what you don't realize is you're energetically repelling everyone who is waiting for you to authentically attract them.
Oh, I think that I'm going to do so many more dicks and balls, because that person that I ended up having the most fun with as a client, she's still in my world and I'm so grateful.
Yep.
Seriously. Here's to the dick and balls. Here
and
it is.
Here's a book recommendation for the dick and balls. Everybody go read Get Different by Mike Michalowicz.
Oh, yeah.
It is an entire book on divergent thinking and you recognizing what truly matters in your business. Oh, and by the way, if you want the business solution, just read Clockwork and Fix This Next, and he'll handle all that for you. And then all you get to do is be divergent and authentic.
Man, I love him. I actually interviewed him on this podcast as well. He is such an
Mike's incredible. That man is an idol for me out of just respect. I feel like, so he's the author I referenced.
Mm.
Every one of his books is 100% in alignment with how I think and how I feel. And then including his new book that just came out called All In for Team. And the model on the back talks about fit, alignment, safety, and ownership of shared values and visions. And I was like, thanks, Mike, adding this one to the roster. And I'm like, I'm not a book writer. I'm a speaker, right?
Yeah,
like that idea of ideas. And so, yeah. And never forget the basics. Like, and we got to wrap because I'm an hour late for kiddo time, but I would do this all day with you. No matter what, right now, you are the closest you have ever been to the goals that you want. Like in this moment, in this presence, and in this state, because as listening to this, you're not in any behaviors, either positive towards your green line or red towards your crisis line. But if we think about goals in the future, and we know that if all we do is stay the same, nothing changes. And then we think about it and that line goes up. And then the crisis line down here is right now at this point, we are literally the furthest we've ever been away from crisis and the closest we've ever been to our goals. But as time continues, that gap gets bigger and it gets harder and harder. And so whatever permission slip you get to write yourself today listening to this, I don't give a fuck what you fill in it, but you fill it in and you get rid of it. But mean it. If you get to breathe, if you get to let go of a story, if you get to do what we call the stinky fish, draw a fucking stick figure fish on your paper and fill it in with every shitty thought, everything getting in the way, and burn the fuck out of it. Go dance, kapow it, poo-poo it. But celebrate every ounce of you, because what got you here won't get you there, but it did get you here.
Yeah.
And all of that is there. We only lose when we don't look at the lessons, pick up the pieces, and then apply them to a different goal or a different outcome. And so whatever it is that you're doing, whatever it is how, just try one new thing and don't make it hard. You know what? Today I'm going to go dance for 5 minutes, but I'm going to actually honor myself and commit to doing it for a week just to see what happens. Just to see how it feels. Today, I'm just going to draw this and I'm going to pattern interrupt once. The more you start taste testing all the things that you're afraid to try, the quicker you realize how delicious they all are and how easy they are to eat, the more you play with them. But it's a muscle and it's about consistency. And so, yes, this matters to me more than anything, because the only way that you get to win is when you show up. And I'll say to every one of you what I say to every one of my clients. I say this because the dark never doubts itself, but every moment you do, it gains ground. So quite frankly, I don't give a fuck how you feel, because the world needs you regardless of how you feel.
I'm going to wrap this up by saying there are so many lessons in this for me, for the listeners, for you, the person that it came through, beautiful George?
You mean like I'm drenched in sweat right now and get to process this whole conversation later?
Uh-huh, that one. And there's this big idea that is coming to me right now to finish this up.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear this.
Be careful. Be careful with what you ask for, because it will come true. Four.
You're gonna, yeah. Yeah.
You go. Let's wrap it up with this.
I'll wrap it up with this. You don't even know this. They don't always look pretty when you ask for what you want. Just don't resist it. Because 6 months ago, I was spending 2 weeks a month in Austin, and I was clear that was my path. I'm going to take this company to $1 billion. We'd increased it $100 million. I took equity worth a lot of money, vesting over time. And I was like, how do I get here more? I was in Austin crying about the situation at home, the lack of structure, Branson having behavioral stuff, like missing my structure, traveling all the time. Liz, I opened my journal, and all I wrote is I would like to be at home more with Branson. I went to an all-hands company retreat, cried to the founder about my life and how safe I felt there and how it felt like family. And he's like, we want you more, come more. And I'm like, amazing. 2 days later, I got an email and my equity agreement was canceled. By the way, in my entire career, I've never seen that happen, because I only vested like 5% and the rest was on a schedule. And they were like, boom, via email. I was on the flight home. I had a nervous breakdown, Like we're talking half of 8 figures. And I cried and I cried. And about 5 hours in, I chuckled. And this chuckle like reverberated all 5 hours of my tears. And it was like, huh, why did I chuckle? I got so sick of crying, I started opening my bag and looking for tissues or something. And I pull out my journal. I saw what I wrote in my journal. And I was like, well, I just ended a relationship with my girlfriend, got this email. Guess I don't need to be in Austin anymore. I got 2 weeks back. So to add to what Liz said, by being careful, all I'll say is just be willing to follow the steps, because they're not going to look like what you think they will. But I promise you, if you make the declaration and you ask for it, it only shows up if it's really for you. You just have to be willing to walk in the dark.
Masses of love and sincere gratitude to you, my friend. Thank you for showing up with all of you. I love you so very much. Are there any final words that you want people to hear? No. For those listening and watching right now, if you want to hear more from this incredible, amazing man, go find him at themindofgeorge.com. Go find him on Instagram. You get to check out his gorgeous calves. Be in his world. He is incredible. He is amazing. And for those...
You want to do your screen? You want to do your thumbnail now?
There it is. I know the timestamp. Love it. See you, everyone. See you in the next episode.